This is Notes from a Native Daughter. I am Soldanela. My guest today is Chloe Cofresí, an actress, a writer, a producer, and an all-around artist. And I'm delighted that you're giving me this time.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you for asking me to come on.
Chloe, I met you recently. I love the story of La Hija del Pirata, the pirate's daughter. I think I loved more the way you and Juliana went up there on the stage and did this like duo conversation, letting us know what this was all about, this project that together you're doing with her. And I was really taken with, I don't know, simpaticas, open. It's definitely a pleasure to meet people like you. I want to know, like, how does this play? How does the story come to you? It's kind of a lovely story. People should know.
Thank you. I've been asked this question a lot with the play happening on Monday. And my answer, I feel like, is changing. The reality is that I've been writing about my family and about identity and sex and Latinidad and religion for over a decade. And I started writing about the women in my family and our relationships in my college thesis over 10 years ago. And then about 4 years ago, I was digging into the family story a little bit. And I was thinking a lot about my Doña Ana, my great grandmother, Ana. And she raised me basically a lot as a child. And told me all of these stories. She's my first storyteller. And I remember her saying, when you get older, research the family. And she had a book about her sister. Her sister was Ana G. Mendez, Ana Gonzalez Mendez. She started essentially the community college system in Puerto Rico. And so she had this book about Ana G. Mendez. And she said, this is your family. You need to look into them. But she didn't mention anything about Cofresí, even though that was her mother's maiden name. And then I started looking into Ana Mendez, and I found out, oh, wait, she's the great-great-granddaughter of Roberto Cofresí, El Pirata Roberto Cofresí. So that means that Doña Ana was also the great-great-granddaughter of El Pirata Roberto Cofresí. And when I found that out, I was just struck with this reality that this statue of this Robin Hood hero that I'd seen all over Puerto Rico growing up the summer, that I'd heard stories about, that he was related to me. And I was confused why my family never mentioned it, why we didn't talk about it. It seemed like a pirate story and a traveler makes a lot of sense out of our family story. So I started researching him a bit more and found out that El Pirata had three children, and the only one who survived, who grew into adulthood, was his daughter. He had two boys and a girl, and it was his daughter, Maria Bernarda, la hija del Pirata, who survived, and that is who all of these generations of women have come from, including Ana G. Mendez, who started the community college system in Puerto Rico, and different senators and politicians and lawyers and all of these incredible people. And they wouldn't be here without her. And I was struck by the fact that growing up, I heard all of these stories about Roberto Cofresí. And I remember being in El Morro in San Juan and looking for ghosts, walking through the cells, not knowing that in reality I had family ghosts who were there. And then it just struck me that no one knows her story. Everyone knows his story, but the reason that we know his story is because of her, and nobody knows her story. And I started thinking about all of the women in my family and how they've struggled or not struggled to live their story and rewrite their story. And what does that mean with this legacy of El Pirata running through our veins? And I sat down to write eventually what I thought was going to be a movie. And about her, essentially, about Maria. And then I just kept coming back to all of the women in my family. And I kept thinking, okay, well, I just have all these ideas right now, and I don't know when I'm ever going to have enough money to make this film the way I would want to make it. But what I can do is make an incredible play. I can do that. And I thought I was going to do a one-woman show of all of these women, all of La Hijas del Pirata, at 30, because I had just, I was turning 31, and I was thinking about the fact that Maria died at 30. And there's this thing, you know, call it your Saturn return, call it growing up, whatever you want to call it. But there is a moment, I feel like, around 29, 30, 31, that you're left with, oh, I thought I knew what my life was going to be. I thought I had navigated around all of the choices that I saw other people make. And I thought I knew what, where I was going to be. And this looks nothing like what I thought. So I had planned on making this one woman show about all of these women descended from La Hija del Pirata at 30. And I went to the woods one day for my 31st birthday. I went to the woods for a weekend to write. And I came up with all of the monologues that are now actually in the show that weekend. And I sent them to a friend of mine who's a director. And he said, well, this is great, but it's way more than this. You realize that this is not a one woman show. And so then I was stuck. Then I didn't know. I knew there was more to it, but I didn't really know what to do. And I sat with it. I just sat with it brewing for about 6 months. And one day I was walking into a reading for a play that I was going to do called Club Silencio that I was cast in. And Juliana, who you mentioned, Juliana Kleist-Mendez, was directing that show. She and I had never met before, but I was meeting her at this reading. And as actors do, we were waiting in the waiting room before the reading starts. And we were asking, oh, how are you? What are you doing next? What's up next for you? And that's the question that I hate the most as an actor, because most of the time the answer is hustling to find the next thing. I have no idea. So this time I pulled something out of my pocket and I said, actually, I'm kind of working on the show a little bit about El Pirata Roberto Cofresí. And from across the room, Juliana heard me talking about it. And she said, what? El Pirata? And so she said, we need to talk later. We ended up doing the show, Club Silencio. It was a beautiful experience. And I knew from her directing me in that show that there was no one else in the world that I would want to direct my play. I knew it had to be her. So the last night of the show, right before we were getting ready to take places, I stopped her and I said, I know we have like a show to do right now, but I get really bad post-show blues if I don't have something immediately following that I can say that I'm working on. And before I could even finish the sentence, she stopped me and she said, you're doing the pirate show and I'm going to direct it. I was like, okay. So that's the plan. So 3 weeks later, we sat down for brunch. She had read the monologues and she agreed to be my dramaturg and my editor and keep me on a writing schedule. And we applied for a grant, here on Staten Island, which is where I live, to produce the show. We ended up getting the grant and then it was go time. Now we had a venue. In order to get the grant, we had to have the venue locked down. We had to have contracts. We had to know. So we planned all of what we were going to do without a fully fleshed out script. And then I said, okay, well now I have to sit down and actually write this thing. And it just all poured out of me. Juliana, in our first sit down session, said, you know, she got the idea of what I was doing with this family story, that I'm mixing the Latinx tradition of storytelling of magical realism and epic family dramas, which is everywhere from Gabriel Garcia Marquez to Isabel Allende, any telenovela, Jane the Virgin. It's everywhere. I just hadn't actually seen it in theater. So she knew that that's what I was playing with. But there was something missing. And she looked at me across the table and she asked me what else was going on in my life when I first started writing the monologues. And I said, well, 4 years ago, my then husband and I were going through our first separation and we're actually in the middle of our second one right now. And I don't think it's going to work out. And she looked at me and she said, well, you realize that has to be in the play. That's the piece that's missing. So I was literally going through my divorce and writing everything I was feeling, the conversations I was having, the conversations I imagined having with my family, all of it. And it all got into this draft that after like 7 or 8 revisions, we finally, and many, many months, got it to a final script, which is where it's at now. And we hired this amazing cast. I mean, everything in this show has just been, has been incredibly fortuitous. And I don't use this word lightly, but it's been blessed. And that for me is a loaded word, but it's true. And it's been just a magical, magical experience every step of the way.
You are one lucky girl. What has your family said about the story? Have you had a chance to like have a dinner about this and talk about all this?
She knew, everybody knew that I was writing about our family. And she asked me actually, can you send me something about what the show is so I know what I'm prepared for? Actually, she said, so I know whether I should buy a ticket. So I sent her the monologues of each of the women, and I explained in the email that I sent her kind of what we're doing with time going back and forth in time, and that the main story in the present is an argument amongst us all at the kitchen table, and that we have flashbacks into the family story and then these monologues. So she understands the parameters of what we're doing, and I sent her the monologues, and her reaction was, well, so I because I know the story, I know something about our family, I could recognize Doña Ana, and I could recognize your mom, and well, I guess I can kind of recognize myself. I said, oh, you guess you can kind of recognize yourself? And she said, but I'm not going to claim it. I'm not going to tell anybody. And I said, that's fine. You know, the names are changed. But she, I did tell her, that's and cute. It's in the program. There's a love letter to the audience that I wrote that's going to be in the program. And part of what I say is, you know, it can be difficult to watch raw, passionate family drama played out for you on stage. And yet, it's a story of hope. It's a story of clinging to hope and holding it captive. And ultimately, it is a love letter to these women, to the women in my family. You know, we have a very complicated relationship, and there's a lot of love, and there's a lot of hurt, and there's a lot of all of it. And I wouldn't, as difficult as it may be for them to watch it, I hope that they know and that they'll see I'm writing about them because I love them. And I'm writing about our family because that's who shaped me, for better or for worse, for all of me. Family is where every story begins, at least for me. And so there are definitely members of my family who won't be coming. But I believe that as an artist, you get the opportunity, you get the gift of speaking your truth. And family life, family dynamics is a big part of that. And I think it's really important for, especially for women or artists who have an identity in some way, shape, or form as an other, to be deliberate about sharing those stories, because those voices haven't been heard. And there are, every time I questioned, should I even be doing this? Like, who wants to know all of this stuff? I thought about every single famous male playwright who wrote and pulled directly from their family life and didn't think anything about it, by the way. Like, I don't know. And I have conversations with, friends of mine who are men, mm-hmm. and who are beautiful men and talented and wonderful and supportive. And yet they don't question at all writing about their own experience. And every woman artist that I've spoken with has had some struggle with, should I say this? Can I reveal this truth? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. Yes, you can, and you should. And it's scary. And to me, art should be scary. That's it. It should make you feel something. And writing about my family definitely can be scary.
I agree. I'm with you there. And the question of, you know, I like that the inversion of your thinking of thinking, oh my God, we know about this pirate because of this girl. I think it's so delicate and so powerful. And I suppose that it's that's somewhere where your play sits and lives, right?
El Pirata was never going to be asked to give up his life for his children, ever. A man in the 1800s was never going to be asked that. And yet that's what was demanded out of each of his generations of daughters as they furthered his legacy with their own children. Because there's this conceit in the show of all of these women are born with the lust for adventure and freedom that was taken shape in a male form, in a male body, and yet they still have it within them. And what does it mean when society and the time that you live in prevent you as a woman from taking ownership of that? I mean, you're furthering this legacy that makes you special, and you have the special name and this sort of special history, but you don't get to really claim it. You don't get to really live it. You just get to talk about it and pass it on genetically. There's something really, really beautiful about watching these women struggle with that, with feeling this complicated relationship with freedom and family. That I think you're hitting on it. It comes from this deep-rooted genetic memory of being the daughter of this pirate and having his lust for adventure in your veins and being told what to do at every turn in your life. I think there's a big part of it that comes from that. But it's about how they each find it for themselves in their life. It may be some of them in bigger ways than in others, but I think one of the things that we forget or we look over is, you know, women find ways of being powerful all the time. And we find ways of being adventurous and being reckless even and taking risks. And we find ways of doing that in sort of magical hidden places that get overlooked so often. And yet they change the world. I mean, education being spearheaded in Puerto Rico by a woman in the time that Ana Jiménez was doing it, first of all, was a little unheard of, and
yes, changing like
the
world,
changing the island as
That's
a result of it. Right, exactly, right. So she's taking that legacy and that tradition and putting it into something that she's able to grasp. And then there are other women in the family who were mothers, who were stay-at-home moms their whole life, and yet were travelers who brought their children across continents, across countries. I mean, there are stories that get hidden or don't get discussed really, because we're talking about often in epic family dramas and stories in history, it's usually the man's story. How did we get here? Oh, he came first. He brought the family. But the truth is, at least in my family, in the four generations that I know of personally, it was the women leading the way. It may not always have been pretty or easy for them to do it, but they were all in some way, shape, or form striving to claim their legacy from El Pirata. And some ways they did, and in some ways they didn't. And it's that dichotomy that I think has been part of the family drama. I think there's this guilt and combination of guilt and lust for what you don't have, guilt for what you do have and not want to admit not being enough, and lust for wanting more, that has been at the core of all of these mother-daughter relationships for generations. And it's been really amazing for me to examine that as a playwright, as an actor, as a human being, as a daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And now that this is going to be staged Do you feel empowered? Do you feel that you crossed a threshold or a place you never thought existed? Do you feel a little bit of that pirate in you, that DNA that travels through time?
Stepped into myself as an artist. I've been acting my entire life. I've been writing my entire life. I haven't put the two together and actually produced something. I've done small things here and there, but this is the biggest thing I've ever done. And as a producer too, doing all three, I had never done that before on this scale. I had no idea if I would even be able to do it. So I definitely grew and gave myself something to look back on. Like, oh, look at where you were a year ago. This was just a thought in your head with a couple monologues. And now it is a full production. It's an event. I have artists of all walks of life contributing to make this an unbelievable night. And that feels amazing. And it feels amazing to have put it all on paper. I mean, for a long time, I think I struggled as an artist because of this hesitancy of, I want to write and perform and tell stories that are personal. And there was, I will admit, a real strong fear of butting up against my family to do that, even though there was plenty of already butting up and a lot of tension. And like I said, it's a very complicated family history. I still wasn't ready to take that leap until now. And part of it was getting divorced, and part of it was just allowing myself to be ripped apart to find myself. And in the process of that, choosing to make art as part of the journey. And that was the most incredible gift I think I could have given myself. Because now, coming out on the other side, I mean, I was married for 11 years and was very much in love with my husband. And we had, in a lot of ways, a really beautiful relationship that just wasn't right. And it felt like I was dying to admit that and to get out of it and move forward, because it meant having to come to terms with not just all of the hopes and dreams I had for us, but everything that all of the family stuff that had led me to this point, and not running away from it anymore. And just being willing to say, okay, here I am, here's where it's at. And I'm just going to lay it all out and put it on paper and see what happens. And in the process of that, I faced my worst fear. It was my worst fear at the time, to lose my family, and he was my family. And I faced it, and I'm okay. I'm more than okay. I'm happier than I've ever been. I am so turned on by life and by my art and by my community. And I found an abundance of love where I thought I was going into a desert of it. And art did that. Theater did that. And the relationships that I made because of theater did that. The act of making theater did that. And it was just confirmation that this is who I am. And no matter what else happens in my life, this experience has solidified that these are my tools of how I get through it and make something beautiful in the process. Because for me, that's the important thing. We're all gonna live through shit. We're all gonna live through pain. We're all gonna have people die. We're all gonna have relationships that don't last, and there's heartbreak in that, and it's a real thing. It's not a, I don't say that as a trite thing.
Yeah.
For me, the beauty of living is, as an artist, is to take all of that and make something, create something. The process of creating is just as beautiful as the thing itself. And as an artist, I just feel so incredibly grateful and lucky that I was able to take this incredibly difficult time and make something beautiful out of it. That's a real gift.
Yeah, that's a real gift. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. I've I've had similar experiences, you know, where I've taken the worst part of my life and made something of it and, you know, gone through the darkest tunnel and just be there, go through it. And there's something really beautiful at the end. And, you know, I have a book and we touched on that a little bit. And, but it's a very similar process, to yours. And I think in the end, and what I, you know, to finish this off, I mean, it's about art and the fact that we connected because of art. And there are these beautiful souls and, you know, here you have this spark and it's obvious why.
And you're right. It also brings connection. I mean, you and I connected because of, like you said, because of art, and your story really touched me. And you know, mm-hmm. I think part of the beauty is connecting your light with someone else, right? And as artists, we have the gift of being maybe a little bit more open to seeing the light in other people. And being attracted to that and being willing to to take the risk of going in and introducing ourselves and having something happen, right? And that's such a pivotal thing, at least for me as an artist. It's the relationships that you build and that you find in making art. It's like a virtuous cycle, right? You create something. You go and you want to share it with the world. And in the process of sharing it with the world, you meet these other people who are creating things that inspire you and feed your soul, and you're feeding their soul. And then it's just this, like this, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an exponential exchange of light and love. And that's the whole point for me anyway.
It's definitely one of the points. And I wish you, you know, a lot of success. Godspeed on Monday. We want this to come over to the other boroughs. So we're putting it out there in the universe, and it will. I know it will. It will circle back.
You can donate to La Piata Productions so that we can actually bring this show to the other boroughs. That is definitely something that we are doing. So, please, if you're listening, support the show in any way you can.